Hello, and welcome to Teacher Tales, a podcast from the spirit of teaching. This is your host, Linda Markley, and I invite you to join me and my guests as we get curious, explore, discover, and learn more about what is really at the heart of teaching. In each episode, we will hear the story of a teacher, what called them to teach, what are their greatest joys and challenges in teaching, what inspires them, and what are their hopes, dreams, and vision for the education of children. We will learn more about the greatest lessons they have taught and also the greatest lessons they have learned. No checklists, no standards, no reports, no paperwork, and no data. Just stories from their hearts to our hearts on a journey to celebrate what really matters in the true spirit of teaching. Well, hello everyone, and welcome back to Teacher's Tales. I'm so glad you're here, and I have someone I want you to meet today who has a very broad global perspective on teaching, and she is really a master at it, and I'm going to let her introduce herself, and we're going to dive right in.
Hey everybody, my name is Jennifer Nichols. I am a teacher in North Carolina and was in the classroom for 20 years at the high school level, teaching Spanish, English, and ESL. And this is now my currently second year teaching in middle school, and I'm doing Spanish 6th, 7th, and 8th grade.
Middle school is so special, isn't it?
It's a shift. Everyone can say, you know, elementary is its own thing, middle is its own thing, high school. And I mean, logically you realize that, but until you experience it, you don't understand how it is different. So it's definitely transitional, but I'm enjoying it. This is the first time with sixth graders ever, and they're joyful. So I'm having a lot of fun for me because, you know, make teaching fun, which can be difficult with student body and, you know, check marks and EOGs and all the things, but there's still kind of that inherent joy. So I'm like, hey, we're going to do this today, guys. And they're like, okay, but then we're going to do this. And they're like, okay. And they just kind of roll with it. So you can make a vocabulary lesson into a game because there's some of that buy-in. So they're enjoying it. And because they're enjoying it, that's kind of refilling my cup that then is like, what else can I do? What else can I do to bring some of that joy back, not only to keep them engaged and learning, but for me to have some fun with it as well.
Yeah, that's a really great point. And my daughter's teaching middle school now after being an elementary school teacher for 20 years. And she's finding it different, but I think I hear the same thing from her. She does 6th, 7th, 8th. The 8th graders are getting a little, you know, edgy.
They're
and
chatty.
Hormonal and,
They're very chatty.
But the 6th graders, joyful. I love that. That's a great word for your 6th graders and stuff.
For sure.
But wouldn't it be wonderful if all of teaching was joyful? I mean, but I think it's what we make of it. And that's, you know, what we're going to talk about, how you were an ELL teacher, you taught, you know, ELA and Spanish. And so you got this broader perspective where you bring in a lot of cross-curriculum teaching and stuff like that. And I have to tell the audience that we met at a recent conference, SCOLT, which was in North Carolina, and I was presiding over your session, which I chose specifically because the title was Cross-Cultural Connections via Origin Stories, Myths, and More. And that was like that was what I did with my teaching. I went to a Florida Teacher Center like summer workshop, and it changed my teaching. It was on that theme, changed my teaching forever, and it became more powerful, and I connected with the kids more, they connected and had more fun learning. So let's talk about what your session was about and what you were presenting about your teaching and bringing in content from all the different subject areas into whether it was Spanish or for your ELLs or whoever it was. How did you do that? How did you create that magic wand?
Really, I think probably from my experience, because I feel in high school in particular, everyone's kind of in their own bubble, and you know, your semester schedule and everything is very push, 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 and there's that time crunch. And again, I hate to say box checking, but we have to do a lot of box checking because you have to get through certain content. You have to get so far before the exams and everything's more important. It's going on transcripts and kind of there's that pressure. But I love making those connect again from myself to find that joy and to keep me learning and to keep growing. Because obviously, as a teacher, you become a specialist, but students keep changing. My first period class versus my second period class, we were doing quote the same thing, but we were not doing it in the same way necessarily. Because, the tenets of teaching, you have to meet the students where they're at, and every kid in a class is going to be doing something different. So you have to convey that information in a different way. So when I was teaching English at the high school level, I would give a history intro, and they're like, "This is not a history class, Miss Nichols." And I'm like, "Actually, I could teach you the word satire. I can reference Saturday Night Live that they may or may not know because one, they shouldn't stay up that late, but two, as I'm getting older, my kind of pop culture references are not as effective as they used to be. But you have to understand what was going on socially, who the author was, why they were writing, because then you talk about author voice and perspective and their experience. And that all kind of bleeds into what they were writing and then what that writing meant as a whole. And then it's not, quote, just a story, right? So you have to understand what's going on, their inspiration, their motivation, their perspective, the social commentary. And then you take it, even if it's a work of fiction, why it mattered then and how we can make connections to it now. And so with the cultural piece that I went with my sculpt presentation, it's tying in some of those human elements. So origin stories, creation myths, things that you grow up learning or being told, whether it's for entertainment or again, stranger danger, all those elements that we as people understand for safety, for protection, for fun, the tooth fairy, the boogeyman, the things that go bump in the night, all of these things exist all around the world, regardless of culture, religion, language, etc., those human elements. So I kind of built on what I've done in the classroom and then tried to elevate and make connections cross content, cross culture to build those bridges. Like we as people have a lot more in common than I feel is kind of focused on.
I think,
So.
a lot of people, especially you'll ask teachers and like, kids have to be entertained today. We have to entertain them. And it doesn't mean that you have to do a song and a dance and you have to be this like stage performer and everything. Entertaining the kids means making a context meaningful to them and they're learning purposeful that they can make that meaning and connect it to themselves in their real lives and put it into the bigger picture. And when we talk about entertainment, what basically you're doing is what Disney and, Star Wars and all of these other big entertainment entities are doing with the hero's journey, the myths and legends, the fairy tales, the folk tales, like you said. You look at any of Disney's movies, and that's what
They
they're
have those
based
basic
on.
elements.
Yeah, and I mean, George Lucas and Star Wars and, all of our superheroes now, although I think it's getting a little off track now with the violence in it and everything, but they have a human message behind them. And, if we could make teaching have a human message behind it where they realize that's why they're learning what they're learning, because that's when we lose them when they're like, this doesn't apply to me. I don't need this. Why do I need to learn
Exactly.
this? So tell me
When
more
am I
about
ever going to use it?
Yeah, tell me more about what you do. Like what kinds of stories and how do you connect with your colleagues? You were telling me a story earlier about, a band teacher or another colleague and having to fill out evaluations.
Yeah, so today reached out, and again, how do I incorporate that diversity inclusion with reaching out to students, but then also the community as a whole? And obviously, every school is different, your school population is different, whether it's again language or socioeconomics, all those things again that we focus on the differences. But it's really, I'm a talker. So in class, some of my students think that my eighth graders, they did this to me the other day, started asking questions about high school and how high school Spanish varies because they're taking the Spanish 1 credit course. And I was engaging and we were having actually a solid discussion. And I know that they were trying to keep me off track, but you had those that were actually listening and asking relevant questions. So I'm like, "You guys think you got me off topic, but we were actually having productive discussion." And I think just engaging in conversation is maybe a skill we need to focus on our students doing. So get off the screen. Again, it's a tool, right? But just Q&A and engagement. So the band teacher, I gave her several examples, whether I'm talking about music with culture, food with culture. So my seventh graders, we're actually going to get to cook the end of this week. The foods teacher is allowing us to come to his kitchen. So we've discussed terminology for food vocabulary. They did country presentations, so kind of common dishes. And then again, you take that to a geographical level, because if you're by the sea, it makes sense that you eat a lot of seafood. If you are landlocked and in a mountainous region, you're going to have different food than if you are in, a flat level plains or farming area. And how farming different, vary geographically. So Peru and potatoes, they didn't know that there's so many kind of potatoes. So really just engaging in conversation. What do you like? What do you eat? What would you try? And I studied abroad, got 24 years ago at this point, and just discussed. Here, I'm a big breakfast person. If I don't have breakfast by 9 o'clock, you can hear me coming down because my stomach's grumbling. But how things switched when I studied in Spain, and I'd have a slice of toast or an orange and a coffee, and how my habits and my health changed and my routines changed. And it's really what you're around, what you're exposed to. And then we kind of compared, contrast. They shared where they're from or what they do for their routines. And again, just that. 15, 20 minute conversation that there's the buy-in, and then okay, let's switch it back to the vocab, but then we can seg back to the human piece, and again, making it that real connection. I'm like, well, who's ever been to a Mexican restaurant? And I have a little girl whose family is Indian, and her dad actually owns a Mexican restaurant in town. And she came up and she's like, I just wanted to let you know. And I'm like, why are you just telling me this now? Why didn't you share before? And it's just funny. You can find a lot of things out and make those connections that you don't really realize just by, again, a simple conversation. And again, where they might think that they're getting you off topic and on a tangent, asking about high school, even though we're supposed to be doing our grammar lesson right now. But ultimately, it does come back to real world knowledge, things that they're actually going to experience, making connections to the current lesson just by engaging in, again, short conversations.
And I think there's so much like that box checking you were talking about with the standardized testing and everybody's teaching to a test. And it's about, and it's not that education wasn't that way to begin with a lot of memorization and regurgitation and everything. But I think it's more critical now because we're, especially being on devices all the time, they are just memorizing things. And I know AI is a big issue and a big challenge for teaching now because they're not thinking, they're not engaging in thinking about the content and conversations about it and then applying it to the real world. They're living in this artificial world of their devices. And so doing things where you do connect them to other cultures. And they could think just by research, this is the only way that you can have breakfast. I researched and found that this is what you are supposed to have for breakfast. And anybody who doesn't have those things for breakfast is wrong. And so how, what a better way to get them to open up to diversity and be more open-minded and receptive, which we need more of, more and more of. But I know in your description, in for your session, I circled these words, highlight, celebrate, and build bridges, which is, that's what we should be doing when we're teaching. We highlight things for them. We don't tell them and serve it up on a platter. Then we celebrate it. And then we help them build that bridge to the content or to other cultures, the bridge between themselves and the other people and stuff. So tell me a little bit about the kids and how they react to it. And have they had some aha moments? Can you share some of those?
I'm a fan of the aha moment. So I'm very much a told I'm I told you so person, but like in a positive way, because especially coming from high school. So I would say big shift from high school. It's kind of like you got to poke them and make sure they're still awake, like, hey, you with me? And it's kind of very low, slow. There's not that energy. And again, that could be because they're up at, 5:30 in the morning to get to school by 7:15. But with the middle schoolers, kind of the opposite of the spectrum, you got to focus that energy. So I just lost my train of thought. Ask me the
aha
question again. I
moment.
totally just lost my the aha
That's
moment.
yes.
So, and again, what we're taught as teachers, build on the prior knowledge, make the connections. And again, especially coming into Spanish, not with my groups currently necessarily, but high school where my class was mandatory. Again, the when am I going to use this? Why do I have to learn this? And building bridges. So think about it, just communication, guys. When we're learning commands, if you ask someone, make a sandwich, they don't know what a sandwich is. They don't know how to make a sandwich. Then you're like, okay, well, it's easy. You put peanut butter on bread. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to take you at your word and I'm going to take a loaf of bread that's still in the plastic and a jar of peanut butter and just put the jar on the bread. That's what you said to do. And they're like, no, you know what I mean. I'm like, no, I don't. So it's like, we have to be clear with communication because if you're not, then there's frustration, then there's misunderstanding, and then problems arise. But the clearer you are, the more effective of a communicator you are, life skill, the better things go. Building bridges between the food pieces. So I have a student who's Turkish, and then I have one from Peru, and then I have again several from India. So, like, what can we find in common? So Semana Santa, Holy Week. We got Easter that's just happened. So I just did a little blurb. And in Guatemala, they do a flower carpet. So I was like, how cool is this, guys? It's beautiful. It's decorative. It brings people together in your community. If we were in Guatemala right now, we could make one here at the school. And they just did like a 15-minute kind of blurb on it. But I'm like, what other kind of cultures or routines or celebrations? Because then we looked really quickly at Spain, because again, that's where I studied. And my former housemate in Spain actually embroiders some of the decorative pieces that go on the floats and things that are in the parade. So I'm like, what do we think of with Carnival or Macy's parade or the Christmas parade? So these are things that you all know. You've been to a festival, you've been to a carnival, you've been to a parade, you've been to a fair, but we call it this. In this location, we call it this in this location. Well, what are the commonalities? Well, I like food. Well, I like music. I like games. I like rides. And we see those parallels. I'm like, yeah, so this is what we as people do, just maybe a different time of a year, different for a reason, but there's a costume that's associated, a music that's associated. And they're like, that's cool. That's cool. And again, just building those bridges. So it might be in a different place at a different time. But it's the same thing, that community, the joy, the celebration, whatever it's for, it's the same.
Yeah, and to get them to realize that there is more than one way to do something. So we would, in my class, we would look at bread, and every culture has a different type of bread, but are the ingredients always the same? But can you put them in different combinations to create different types of bread, different shapes, different textures, and everything? And to give them that opportunity to see that, yes, there may be those boxes to check, but you can teach things much more creatively. And I do a lot of teacher training now, and to get teeth, that's how I will start with like a bread recipe. And I'll say, how can you change this? How do you make your bread? Or chili. Chili's another one. Chili can be different by everybody, different types of salads. And so, again, giving them that perspective that they can do things differently, and we can do things differently around the world, and gives them permission to be a little less afraid, to be a little more bold and being a risk taker and everything. And again, we need more of that because it is so black and white now, and with blinders on, that everybody's looking at each other and at the world. And we've got to start planting those seeds in this younger generation, for the future, that, diversity and different perspectives and everything are not threatening.
I say you don't
They're the
have to.
richness of life.
You don't have to like the food, but you can try the food. You don't have to like the music, but you can listen to the music. And just because it's not your favorite, it doesn't mean that it's horrible and bad. It's just not your vibe, as my students would say. And
Exactly.
but again, if everyone was exactly the same, because I was like, well, what if we all had to wear school uniforms? And then that is still a hot button. Oh my God, no, horrible. And I'm like, well, think about it. If everyone wore the same uniform, if everyone had the exact same backpack, if everyone had the exact same water bottle, if everyone had to listen to the exact same music, you had to eat this. And they're like, oh no, blah, that's gross. And I'm like, so you see, we like different things. We like options. And again, this can be small level or big level, but variety is the spice of life. Is that the right thing?
Yeah,
And again,
exactly.
that's your shows, your music, your pillow, like whatever. It's nice having choice, and it's nice being able to say, try this. No, maybe don't like it. Try this. Oh, I would have never tried that. And again, I try to give examples. My wildness is that I eat mayonnaise and lettuce on my turkey sandwich now, but when I was a kid, a turkey sandwich was turkey on dry bread. Like that was me. And going to a teacher workshop, UNC Worldview, they had Mediterranean deli cater, and I tried feta on a little salad, and I was like, oh, I've been missing out my entire life. This feta cheese is amazing. And again, just little experiences, and give it a go because that's what's there, or give it a go because I don't know. Well, let me try it. It's here. That's what I try to do with my students. Like, let's try this. Let's try that. Let me tell you about this. Can we make a connection to that? And again, the small seed, and like you said, getting comfortable with trying something new, listening to a different perspective, making connections to something that you already know. And again, building those bridges. So even if it's different in the grand scheme, if we can build a commonality, oh, you like this artist? Me too. What else can we talk about? So at least there's a foundational connection that you can build. So even if there are differences that you agree, disagree, or there's still a piece that we can connect.
And I loved the way in the session you presented it in a way that you were just orchestrating and presenting the content. And in groups, the kids can discuss and kind of you lead little breadcrumb, leave little breadcrumbs for them to find, their way, but you don't give them the answer. And that's another really powerful and important part of teaching is it's not something that's prescribed. We present the content and we kind of ask questions and do some exploring and learning, so that we can make those connections and everything. So, that's another thing that teachers now feel that everything has to be step by step. Everybody's got to be doing everything the same way, and that's just so, doesn't have to be done that way. Absolutely.
I
So.
said all because all students don't learn the same. And like you said, don't just tell them the answer. I'm a big fan of why. And I'm like, good question. Why? What do we know? What do you see? So I like to start out with, hey, we're going to talk about XYZ today. What do we already know? Anything, anything. And then again, from the get-go, put it back kind of on the students. What do you guys already know? Okay, we don't know anything. Well, I want to hit XYZ. So when we think we've hit XYZ, tell me, or what do we think about XYZ as we go through or introduce? So we're going to talk about whatever. Illusion. What does that even mean? Can you give me examples? And we reference was with my ELA last year talking about illusion, the Grinch, right? So that evil, and then Ebenezer Scrooge. So this was going into our December. Have we seen these movies? Where have we seen this before? Is it just book? Is it a movie? Is it TV? Is it a cartoon? And I like that with some of the younger students that I can reference maybe a wider variety of film, TV, movie, video game. Whereas my high schoolers like trying to stick with Shakespeare and then like biblical allusion and like some of the heavier stuff. They're like, oh. So being able to reference some, again, more entertainment pieces. And then if someone's not seen Elena of Avalor, for example, you have the couple that gasp and they're like, oh, how could you have not seen that? And then that gets the conversation going and that you can then redirect back to whatever you're supposed to be, focused on. But when they kind of challenge each other in a positive way or question each other, how do you not know? Oh, let me tell you about this. This is what you're missing in life. And again, it gets the conversation started.
Yep, it's important. So, why did you become a teacher? Was that your first intention, or because a lot of teachers I talk to on the podcast, they're like, I wasn't originally going to be a teacher.
Which is funny to me now that, again, this is year 22, we'll say the last 10-ish years, I had a lot of coworkers that were coming into the profession that had been in the business world. There's one that had been in the military, and I was kind of like, why are you coming into teaching? Like, why would you do that? I was the kid that always loved school. It wasn't a question. That was my space, and I was good at it, and I enjoyed it, and I love learning, and I still do. I read books for fun. I'm still that kid. That's what I tell my students. I ended up being a Spanish and English major, and I was taking Spanish for fun with no intention of ever becoming a Spanish teacher. What I fully remember in 9th grade, I was taking like a biomed something something class because I thought about being a veterinarian. And we ended up having our teacher leave, so we had a sub all year. So we ended up just watching movies, so obviously didn't learn anything. But then I kind of it clicked that math and science are not my strong suits, so maybe a career in the medical field was not it. And then junior year, I don't remember the how or the what or the why, but where you could interview, and I don't know if the program still exists, but if you made it through and taught 4 years at I think a Title I school, your schooling would be paid for. And so that caught my interest because again, I was that kid that just loved school and did not do well on my interview. I'd never been in an interview. I remember borrowing my mom's kind of dress suit thing and kind of stuttering through the questions. But after, even though that was not a success, I was just like, yeah. And so at age 16, I wanted to be a high school English teacher because English was always my jam. Like I love stories, I love the connections, and it was just it. That was it for me. And again, took Spanish for fun. Was taking AP Spanish, went to the elementary school and taught. And again, it was just fun. I like helping people make the connections, the kids, when they're like, oh, I get it. And when that little light bulb kind of finally clicks. So then went to college. So majored in English and kind of knocked all that stuff out. It wasn't until my junior year of college that I was like, oh, I'm taking Spanish classes anyway for fun that I can double major. Graduated with my degree and got a job right out the gate. So from May to August, and started teaching both English and Spanish at a high school. And pretty much every year was Spanish and English. So first period Spanish, second period English, that back and forth. And then did English and ESL for a short time, then got switched to a school that was just English. Then my last high school, English and Spanish for 9 years or so. And then just the last couple at the high school was just straight Spanish. So it was just always the thing. But I said at 16, it was that click of this is what I want to do. And it was kind of a duh for me because, again, I'm still that kid that likes to be in school. So I tell my students, I've been in school every year of my life since I was 3. So for 40 straight years, I've gone to school every day of the school year. And they're like, oh.
Yeah, but if you know, for some people, like my oldest daughter, that's what she loves. That's where she feels, you know, very comfortable, and she just loves learning and going to school and being around young people. Now that I'm retired, I really miss being around young people. Old people are not my jam. So we only have a couple more minutes left here. So I just want to find out what would be your advice to new teachers, because you said you know some that have come in from other careers, and you've told us a little bit about the advice you gave to another colleague at your school with teaching and stuff. So for new teachers, what would be your greatest advice to them?
It can be tough, and it's probably gonna be tough. My first 3 years, I was lateral entry, and I had my ILT mentor who was my school mentor, but kind of like another grandmother almost. So she listened to me and was that shoulder at times, but then she was also that reality check where she was like, suck it up and move on. So for me, you need that duality.
Tough
Yeah,
love.
definitely. And I don't know if this is just an age thing, an experience thing, because now I have kids, but it's really when you get that frustration mode and you gotta sit down and stop. And because there's always those moments and know that that's okay, but how to react. So take that pause, take that breath, and redirect and kind of pick your battles. Find someone, and again, that can be tricky. That again is that tough love. But also the sounding board and stick with it find as best you can, because I've not always been in a school that I've had that support or the community. So find something that keeps you going, because you hear it's for the kids, which yes, because obviously that's what we do for the students. But if you are not in your best space, you're not going to be the best for your students. So find that balance. You don't have to grade everything. Everything is not the dog and pony show. You can keep it simple. So, and again, sometimes that's just lived experience. Just like anyone can give advice, but you don't know till you go through. So high school different from middle school. You have to experience to truly understand, and then you kind of navigate. But find a sounding board, do the tough love, take that breath. Try to leave work at work as best you can. And it's, you got to put kind of front loading, do a lot of that work up front, but then you'll have that bag of tricks. You'll have some of your go-tos, and then that kind of lessens some of that stress. But it's, again, if you're a teacher because you love to learn, it is a process. So even at year 22, I got the bag of tricks, but it doesn't always work, or you modify, you adapt, you change. And it's a constant process. So just know that it's slow going, and it can be frustrating at times, and it'll be wonderful at times, but you can do it. And again, that's the process.
And I'm going to add, go to conferences, because then you meet other wonderful teachers who inspire you, and you have your PFFs forever, your professional friends forever, because no one understands like what you're saying, like we do, because we've experienced it. We can't talk to other people about it, but they can listen to teacher tales, and they can get these experiences from wonderful guests like you. And I thank you so much for being on the podcast,
Thank you
and
for the invitation.
you are very welcome.
Hello again, everyone. This is your host, Linda Markley, and I'd like to invite you to nominate a teacher to be a guest on the podcast and to share their story. All you have to do is go to www.spiritofteaching.org and fill out the nomination form. Again, that's www.spiritofteaching.org. Also, please share, rate, and give some feedback to help us better serve you in the spirit of teaching. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to having you back next time on Teacher Tales.